Welcome back, everybody, to the 123rd episode of the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. Follow me on Twitter at golfunfiltered. Send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and I believe that's everything I've got these days. Tried to cut back a little bit on the social media accounts. It's just a little too hard to manage. So it's just me, myself, and I tonight, folks. Just wanted to have a quick update episode with you to give you an update on the status of my game to kind of close that loop on a video that I posted on my YouTube channel not too long ago. Actually, probably over 2 months ago now. Need to pick up that usage of that channel here. In that video I'm referencing, I had mentioned that I'm trying to find the best type of irons for my game. Not necessarily brand, make, or model, just what type of clubs should I be playing to get the most benefit out of them for the way that I swing the club. Currently, I am still playing a bladed set of irons, and I don't say that because I want all of you to be so proud of me. But there's a little backstory to why I prefer the look and feel of a bladed club, even though my handicap, which is, you know, it's an 8, but people say that I should be down to a 1 or a 2 or maybe a 3 if I'm going to play the clubs that I'm playing. Currently have the Mira MB001s in my bag. Again, not saying that for you to feel good for me. But long time ago, when I started playing this game, some 21-odd years ago, thereabouts, first set of clubs that I ever played were the Spalding Elites. If you gearheads remember those clubs, those were some beauties. I think the club heads were about the size of a small gardening shovel, probably about the same width and forgiveness level as well. Had the persimmon matching woods that came along with the set. I loved those clubs. I think I still have them in the garage, actually. Played those for a year or so. They were a gift to me from my uncle. Afterwards, I think he may have went to a garage sale and bought me what only equated to our knockoff Ping I2s. I don't even remember the name of the clubs, but they were another gift to me. And, God, they probably wouldn't have registered more than $10 now if you were to find them at a garage sale. They were okay. I played those for about another year and a half. But then shortly thereafter, after I started working at a country club in my hometown, in the bag room, good old Joliet Country Club, shout out to you guys. Good friend of mine, great player, still somebody I play golf with. Coincidentally, his name is also Adam. Sold me his Mizuno T-Zoids. That's another name from the past, huh? I don't know. God, I wonder where... Oh, actually, I know where those clubs are, and that's another story for another day. Those are a little bit closer to the bladed look. They didn't have the thinnest top line in the world. They did have a little meat behind the club head. But still, pretty small head. You needed to make solid contact in order to get that ball to go anywhere and do anything. And so I just kind of cut my teeth playing those types of clubs. So, after playing with those clubs, trying to get good with them, my friends, my beloved friends, would invite me to go play money games with them after work at the club. We would play Defender, for those of you who know what that game is. It's awful. It can be really bad really quick. Sometimes we would play maybe a skins game or something. But the point being is I had to get really good really fast, otherwise I was going to lose all my money at the time. At the time, I didn't have any. I didn't have any money to be playing with, let alone playing games against these two players. The two guys I'm referencing are both very good. They're very low single-digit players. Adam, the guy that I bought the clubs from, was a professional for a little while. So anyway, I just kind of had to get good with these clubs, the style of bladed iron. I've had a few other iron sets since then. Fast forward up to today with what I'm playing, and it just looks better. It looks and feels better. You know, looking down at the club, I don't want to see a big chunky hunk of metal behind my golf ball. Now, in the video I referenced at the beginning of this on the YouTube channel, I wanted to compare the irons I'm playing now versus the Srixon Z765s, another great set of clubs. Put those in the bag for probably a month and a half. There were some very distinct characteristic differences with those clubs versus what I'm playing. First and foremost, they had graphite shafts, which I could take or leave. I don't know. maybe I'll save that for another episode when we talk about the different types of club fittings and builds that you can get. But I went back and forth between the two. I certainly hit the Srixons further. My data would show that the shot dispersion was a lot tighter. Standard deviation was really small as well. But the one number that didn't change much was my score in comparison to what I'm playing today. At the end of the day, I think we would all agree that that's the most important number, right? Doesn't matter how far you can hit it if you can't get the ball in the hole. So, went back. Actually, I remember when I went and played a course twice in one weekend. I don't do that very often, but I did this weekend because I hadn't played the course before. It's George Dunn National in, where is that? Oak Forest, I think it is, Illinois. It's actually part of the Billy Casper golf course group. Great track if you're ever in the area. Played it on Friday with the Srixons, shot 88. Played it on Sunday with the Miras, shot 80. Hey, you know, what can you do? It's the difference of 2 days. So, whole point in me sharing that story is not only to give you some insight into what I'm playing now, but also just play what you like. My buddy Josh Babbitt over at THP Media, shout out to those guys as well, especially those of you who may be listening to this on the THP Radio app. Josh agrees. He says, just play what you want. Play what you like. If it feels good, it looks good, and it makes you happy, do that. I'm beginning to agree with that. In fact, I do. So, if you can get out there and you can hit the ball and you can get the ball airborne and you can score really no different than what you're typically scoring, then you can look at that in two ways. One, those new clubs, the clubs that you're quote-unquote not supposed to play for your handicap level, aren't really hurting you that much. And two, maybe go get a lesson. maybe that's what I need to do. But I take that. I've actually been happy with the way I've played this year. Had the opportunity to test a lot of good golf balls. I'm going to start doing a little bit more solo shows on this podcast with review-specific content. That's a really fancy way and probably a wordy way of me saying that I want to review more equipment on the show. It's going to be a little tough because obviously you can't see what I'm reviewing. But hopefully I'll help to educate a little bit too during the day when I'm not saving the world with this podcast. I'm in data analytics. I do it specifically for process improvement. I won't bore you with what all that means, but perhaps one day when we do an episode on performance improvement in your golf game, I'll get into more detail about that. But essentially, the way I test my equipment, if it's testing better than what I'm currently playing and it's statistically significant, I'll put it in my bag. I'm pretty brand neutral. I do have my favorites. I think anyone knows that. But if it's better than what you're currently playing with, then why wouldn't you put it in the bag? That gets into a whole different discussion about preferences. I had mentioned the THP Radio group. TheHackersParadise.com is a great website you can go onto, and I've been chatting a little bit in their forum. They've got a great message board / forum community. I threw a question out there regarding what are the main characteristics you look for in buying a driver. Well, people said distance, control, accuracy, a lot of different variables that only you can see after you actually hit the thing. But a couple people said that the biggest factor was the way it looked, the appearance of the club, which I found to be interesting. Sounds like another episode we can do as well. I'm just kind of outlining and listing out the topics I want to cover in the next few weeks. Hopefully we'll get these podcasts out a little bit more regular. Now that things have calmed down after the summer is ending, I'll have more time to actually do this. But it's interesting because appearance, as I just mentioned in my iron search, was a big factor for me as well. I just liked the way something looked. You hear a lot about how people feel about feel in a golf club when they hit it. Does it feel soft? Some people, I don't know any, but some people might actually like when the ball feels hard when you hit it. There's a lot that goes into feel. Sound the sound at impact is a big factor. There's a lot of things that go into what you find most appealing in a piece of golf equipment. Along those same lines is the importance of getting custom fit. Now, we'll have more conversations about this on the show in the coming weeks, but a couple days ago, I had the opportunity to go visit Golf Tech Tech Fit in Naperville, Illinois, actually. Shout out to my man Mike Rodriguez out there who helped me out. He's a great and professional certified club fitter. The importance of getting fit cannot be overstated. I've said that a few times. It wasn't my first custom fitting in my life. I actually had the opportunity to go out to Club Champion in Willowbrook, Illinois, about a year ago. Shout out to Roger out there. Both Club Champion and Golf Tech offer extremely good products. I had great times at both. I spent probably about an hour and a half at Club Champion, almost an hour at Golf Tech, and that was plenty of time for me to learn more than I had ever known about not only my game, but also just golf equipment. If you go out to the site, you're going to read the review of Golf Tech Tech Fit and my experience there. You're going to see some fancy words like shaft frequency, oscillation. I think that's the first time that I actually put the word oscillation in an article in a long time. Probably last time was when that whole thing happened with Tiger Woods' golf ball. Remember that? I think that was at the BMW in Lake Forest. Man, I'm just covering the whole map of Illinois in this episode. But during my club fitting, I was testing my driver. I had never been fit for a driver, and I just wanted to see if it was the best for my game. And lo and behold, spoiler alert, after an hour of hitting multiple golf shafts and club head combinations, the driver I currently have, the Callaway Epic, with the 50-gram Diamana shaft in my bag, is the best for me. It tested out the best. That was just complete coincidence. So, anyway, I learned a lot. And the most important thing I learned was the misconception that people have walking into a club fitting. It's not a major misconception, but when you go for a club fitting, if you've never been for one, you probably, I hope, have some idea of what you're going to get into for your first fitting. You're going to talk about whether or not you've got the right club shaft. You're going to talk about whether or not you're hitting the right lie angle. In my case, I needed a degree flat. I never knew that. So that was an extremely eye-opening experience for me about a year ago, and it was reiterated in my fitting at Golf Tech. But one of the biggest things that you're not probably considering is just overall length of your current clubs. Now, I know that sounds funny. I know that people who have been through a fitting or who may do fittings for others say, yeah, of course you're going to consider club length. Why wouldn't you? That's one of the big variables that you want to consider. Length, lie, and loft, right? Well, I've been doing this for quite a while. I've been playing the game for quite a while. I never thought to measure the length of my current driver. I always assumed it was at 45 inches. Lo and behold, when Mike took my driver, measured it, it was at 45.75 inches, almost a full inch long. Now, I'm about 5'9", 5'10". They go and they measure your height as well as your wrist, the length of the, or the distance from the floor to your wrist. And then they will make a recommendation on the length of club that you should be hitting. After going through that process, I was told I should not hit a driver longer than 45 inches. So, what does that mean for my game? Well, it means the same for anybody. If you've got the wrong length club, you're not going to make center of the face contact as often as you would like. And I see that with my driver. Again, I just thought it was a shitty swing. Probably still is, to be completely honest. But just the fact that I'm setting myself up for failure using a piece of equipment that is not specifically fit to me kind of puts me behind the eight ball. So I cannot overstate how important it is for everybody listening to this. If you're a serious golfer, you really want to get better at the game, I don't even care if you go play golf twice a month. Just go get custom fit. You don't have to buy any other equipment. Yes, these places are going to try to upsell you a little bit. I mean, they're a business, for crying out loud. That's the name of the game. That's how things operate. I think you all understand that. But that doesn't mean you have to buy anything from them. I think that's a big fear that people have with custom fitting. Not only the initial cost of the fitting, which, I mean, is not insignificant. But then, what am I going to be pressured into buying afterwards? And if I like the experience enough, is that pressure going to come from me, from the player getting fit, more than anything? Who knows? I don't know. But you know what you can do is you can go, you get fit, you get all your specifications, the recommendations from your club fitter. You get this nice either report, PDF, printout, whatever, however they do it. You take that sucker with you, and you go and you buy used. Now, I'm sorry. I know some people listening to that are going to say, well, why wouldn't you support your local club pro? Why wouldn't you support your local club fitter and buy clubs from them? I'm not telling you not to do that. If you want to, fine. The point is not everyone can do that. Yet everybody wants to enjoy the game. When we talk about how expensive things are, golf equipment is probably, well, is the biggest expense, at least in the short term. Because then you got to cough up, what, $50 a round if you want to play somewhere decent? Get your spec sheet, get your recommendations, check out eBay, go out to sidelineswap.com, had those guys on the show not too long ago, and look at what's for sale. Chances are, you might find something that fits exactly what you need. Now, club fitters can get down to some very intricate details. They can get down to probably the millimeter in terms of, you know, lie angles, lofts, and everything else. I guess that wouldn't really apply to angles, but whatever, you understand my point. They can get down to a really fine, fine increment of whatever measurement you're looking at. But most golfers don't need that. Most amateur players, you and me, we don't need that. Just get what is recommended, and you'll find it somewhere. I've done it. I do it very often, actually. I have not yet been disappointed. So, the importance, again, going out, getting custom fit. I know I've said that a few times, but I'm going to continue to say it until I'm blue in the face, until people go out and do that. Let's get to some Twitter questions. I had asked not too long ago on Twitter if anyone had any questions about anything they wanted to ask me, because I knew I was going to do this solo show tonight. Got a good response. The first from at the Par Train. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about these guys. They're a new podcast, and they don't know I'm doing this, but I really like them. I mean, they're really good. They're really, really good. There's one main quality of any podcast, regardless of topic, regardless of genre, that is so critical, and that's sound quality. There are some podcasts out there, yes, even in the golf space, that are extremely popular, but don't sound great. I know mine was in that bucket for quite a while. I think for a while I was recording on my iPhone. These guys' podcast is really good. They got a good dynamic between the two of them. They got some good episodes in there, I think 14 or 15 now. Go out and check them out. Anyway, they send a Twitter question, the best kind of golf shot to play with Taylor's new song in the background. Oh, God. They're referencing Taylor Swift's new song, Look What You Made Me Do. Folks, you know, I'm so removed from what good music is nowadays. I mean, I don't want to sound like a grandpa because I know I'm not that old. I'm 35, but that song is trash. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're a Taylor fan, but holy cow, that song was awful. The best shot I would play, they recommend to play the Stinger 3 metal. I mean, I can't disagree with that. I mean, anything that's going to make a lot of noise so I don't have to listen to that song, I think, is my option, guys. So thanks for sending in the question. Another one comes in here from at Dennis on Mars. That's an interesting... oh, it's Denison. I get it. You did a really interesting thing with your name there. Do you buy into the theory that Bran Stark is the Night King? He's got a two-parter in his tweet, so I'll answer the first question first. He's referencing, of course, the Game of Thrones show. I am so upset about Game of Thrones. I do not watch the television series. I read the books. I was a huge book nerd. I still am. I like reading, and those books were extremely, extremely good. I think the last one that actually had been published is the Dance with Dragons, and then all of a sudden they stopped, and then all of a sudden the TV series surpassed the books, and yeah, that pretty much just threw me off it. I gotta be honest, I've not watched. I know what happens. I mean, you can't go on the internet or Twitter nowadays without seeing spoilers, so I know the origin story of Hodor. I know what Dennison is referencing regarding Bran Stark and the Night King. Honestly, this is such a cop-out answer, but I really don't care. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Apparently, Bran Stark, if I remember correctly, has the ability to take on other, you know, to like go into the minds of other things, and there's this theory that he might be the Night King, the super bad White Walker, when winter arrived. Probably, who cares? I mean, I don't know. I'm still pissed off at George R.R. Martin for not finishing the books, but yeah, sorry. I just if that's what makes you happy, then that theory, then go with it, buddy. I mean, at this point, anything can happen. The second part of your tweet is, who is your fave golf vlogger? I've got a few. I'm a big YouTube junkie, especially when watching people do golf equipment reviews and, you know, online lessons, probably to a fault. I like Mark Crossfield. He can get a little pompous at times, I feel, but he's got a lot of great content. He does it very often. He's adding a little bit of variety to his vlogging. He's bringing his family in too. I think that's really cool. So, you know, he kind of personalized it a little bit. And of course, there are others also. I mean, there's Rick Shields, there's Peter Finch, this guy Brandon DeVore, he's really good at Be Better Golf. They all kind of take their own little, they offer their own take, geez, spit it out, Adam, on not only golf instruction, but also equipment. So those are a few that I really enjoy. Another question comes in from at Big Time South. One last round of golf anywhere in the world, where, why, and with who? Man, one last round. If it's a course that I've played before, I really like Eagle Ridge. There's four courses out there. Everyone who has heard that name in Galena, Illinois, knows of the General. That's a great course, don't get me wrong, but of the four courses out there, I actually prefer the North Course. I just think some of the views are nicer around the lakes out there. I would probably play there. I would probably play with two buddies of mine, Adam and Matt, who I play golf with now still and have for most of my life. If it was only a foursome, I'd include my dad. And if it was a fivesome, if we can get out there with five guys, I'd bring my father-in-law also. So it would just be a fun time. I mean, we'd probably take 6 hours to play, but it would be fun. My buddy Jimmy at Tiger Golf Traveler, he's been on the show twice. Best golf course you've played? And then another two-parter, Sopranos, The Wire, or Breaking Bad? Well, the best golf course I've ever played, man, I haven't played many. I know that's shocking. I just try to stick to the courses I know, which I need to get out and play more. But I did play, I think it was Indian Wells was the name of it, in Los Angeles. I played in the ESPN Celebrity Golf Outing back in 2012, I think. I think that was the name of the course. The course was really fun, but I think the context of the event added to its allure. I really like Cantini in Wheaton, Illinois. Fantastic 27 holes. Just really well done. Great layout. Just immaculate condition every time I go out there. And I'm sure that there's obviously there's other courses I need to play that are probably better than the two that I just mentioned. The Glen Club is also pretty good. But any one of those, Jimmy. And then as far as The Sopranos, The Wire, or Breaking Bad, well, I've seen all of Breaking Bad. I watched probably two or three seasons of The Wire and only about a handful of episodes of The Sopranos. So I'm very biased in this. I prefer Breaking Bad. I think that's just a fantastic show. Very similar to that show right now is Ozark on Netflix. That's a fantastic show. Jason Bateman does a great job from a guy that you typically just figure, I mean, you think the guy from Dodgeball, right? The announcer, the whack job announcer in Dodgeball, the movie. He does a great job in this, in Ozark. So certainly a shout out to him on that. Let's see if there are any others here. From at Murdoch the Lab, Mr. Fudgy. Most comfortable waterproof golf shoes. I did try out the new elements from True Linkswear, at least a version of them. And while the waterproof element was great, my feet stayed dry on a very wet course when I played them. The comfort level was a little suspect. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was, I don't know. I should go out and play with them again, but my feet ached after wearing those shoes. But you know, True Linkswear overall makes some great golf shoes. I love that brand, and they've got some really good waterproof shoes as well. So I would say anything from them, from the waterproof category, and more often than not the comfort. I just think maybe I had an off day with the shoes that I tested. So all right, let's see if there's anything else here. We got one final one here from at Rob Roth. New York or Chicago style pizza and why? Rob, that's an easy one. I live in the area, so Chicago. And that's really all the reason you need. But actually, I'm not a huge fan of deep dish pizza. I know that's almost sacrilege from somebody who lives in this area, but it's a lot. I like thin crust, you know? I like thin crust. I like, you know, maybe Italian beef on it. Maybe some jardiniere, you know? That's a good pizza to me. Deep dish, even though, well, if it's deep dish from Lou Malnati's, no offense to you Giordano fans, that's probably pretty good. But yeah, anyway, thank you for sending in those questions. Thank you again for downloading and listening to this episode of the podcast. We're going to be trying to bring some more shows here on a little bit more regularity. I know that's, I say that pretty often, but let's get a few shows in the hopper here so we can keep the content coming to you. Do us a favor. The best way you can support this show is to go out and rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Write us a review. Leave honest feedback. If there's something that you like what we do and you want us to do more of it, let us know. If you don't like something that I do, then go ahead and write that in there too, and I'll take that feedback in stride also. So aside from that, again, follow me on Twitter at @GolfUnfiltered, and you can send me an email. I love your emails. Feel free to please continue to send them along. GolfUnfiltered@gmail.com. Until next time, folks, thanks for listening. This is your buddy Adam signing off.